Blog Talk Radio.
In a little tent, and oh, just like that river I've been running ever since. It's been a long, long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes it will. But I'm afraid to die. I don't know what's up there beyond the sky. It's been a long, long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Keeps telling me don't hang around. It's been a long, long time coming, but I know a change is gonna come. And I say, brother, help me see. But somehow he winds up knocking me back down on my knees. Oh, there were times I thought I wouldn't last. I think I'm able to carry on. It's been a long, long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Yes, it will. Oh, I know a change gonna come. I said I know.
Participate in our discussion today, you're welcome to call in at 347
347-989-0855. That's 347-989-0855. Or you can hit us up with a message at Hiram1555@yahoo.com. That's Hiram1555@yahoo.com. As always, we'd like to thank you for giving us another hour of your day and another day of your time. We'd like to thank the thousands of you who listen live from around the globe and the thousands of you who will download us later from all of our affiliate sites, be it Hiram1555.tumblr.com, Twitter.com/Hiram1555, Facebook.com/Hiram1555, BlogTalkRadio.com/Hiram1555, and our main news blog, which is formerly TrumpetOfTruth.wordpress.com and also formerly SalaamJonah.com and SalaamJonah.org, which is now the Hiram1555 blog at Hiram1555.com. Again, my beloved family, I'd like to say to you all, Assalamu alaikum, and welcome to another edition of the most powerful show for truth anywhere on the face of planet Earth. Brothers and sisters, we bring to you this episode titled Empire in Crisis. The desolations are starting to multiply. Now, before we go into that, I want to talk to you a few minutes about why, for the last few shows, I played replays. And this was not due to Blog Talk Radio bothering the show. This was due to there's something in these shows that I wanted to get over to the audience. And I wanted you to pay close attention to some of the things, because if you listen to some of the shows that were 6 months and 7 months old, you'll see that we caused a lot of the things that are happening right now. You'll see that what we were saying, it seemed as though the shows were live. Because of the situation, because of the unfolding events, because of what is going on nationally and regionally and also internationally. And how do we call these things? We call them because we followed the blueprint, the Rosetta Stone of truth, the Rosetta Stone of liberation, peace, and power that is God's man in this day and time, the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. We have to give credit where credit is due. And being students of this wise and great teacher, we are able to look at his teachings and show you in real time and actual facts what to expect and how things will unfold. This is not because we have wisdom of ourselves. No, far from that. It's because we are wise enough or blessed to be able to understand that when a man tells you something over and over and he continues to tell you certain things, well, every subject of life, from philosophy to theology to science to history, right, and all of these other subjects, and this man becomes so accurate on everything that he says, it would be a fool to reject that or to ignore that. So because we have pierced into the knowledge of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, we are able to bring you truth unadulterated, untampered with, and then you can put it on a scale of facts and weigh it for yourself and see whether or not what we are saying is the truth. So that's what we do with you all. We present the facts, and we let history be the judge of whether or not we're telling you the truth. This is what Elijah Muhammad teaches us. He says, put his teachings on a scale of facts and weigh them. Weigh them. To weigh his teachings, brothers and sisters, you first of all, you've got to know what they are. Then you've got to do a comparative analysis with the opposing spectrum or the other side. And then you'll see which one weighs heavier and weighs more in truth, right? So what we do today is present to you Elijah Muhammad unadulterated. We present to you the word of God, and we show you facts, all right? So don't get mad at us for presenting these things. But we want to show to you that this empire is in crisis. And I remember the good brother, Brother Saladin, he was telling me, he said, brother, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, at the end of America, as America starts falling, and he was giving me a rundown of a whole list of things, he said, her grocery stores, her chains of grocery stores will start collapsing. And they'll, you know, how you have all this variety of stores, one by one, he said, they'll start collapsing. Boom, 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 boom. What are you seeing today? They're collapsing, right? All of these businesses collapsing, just as he said, and America would become more fascist and more totalitarian. She would be like a dictatorship, he said, the messenger said. And what is happening today, and what is the white man saying about his own system and about his own way of governance in America and around the world. He's talking about fascism. He's talking about being a dictator, right? These words was once only reserved for leaders that America and the West disagreed with. And now we're seeing it propagandized through all of these alternative media sites against their own government and officials, right? He said America would become more isolated, more divided. And what are we looking at today? She's suffering. But all of these things, you've got to get clear. Her economic situation is deteriorating very fast. Her political standing is being uprooted right in your very face. This is why all of the little nations are challenging her, along with the big nations, because they know that she's weak and they understand time and they understand somewhat of prophecy. So they know that America will only continue to make matters worse for herself, because this is what was decreed by the prophets of old. They have books. They have history lessons. It is you, the black man and woman here in America, who refuses to do an analytical study and comparative analysis of what was spoken by this man and put them on a scale of history and time and see whether or not they are weighing the weight of God. When we look at America, and let me just run something by you. I want to just show you just how bad the system is breaking down. And I'm just going to run through just three or four things just to show you. They were talking about Outback and Carrabba's and Bonefish Grill and Fleming's. They're each one are going to close 43 stores, right? This will add up into hundreds of people being laid off. You see Yahoo, Microsoft, and all of these other ones laying off thousands. Toys R Us laid off hundreds. And Toys R Us is in over $850 million in debt. Toys R Us. Macy's. You know, the flagship for middle class and upper class America. Macy's, last year she closed some stores, dozens of stores. This year she's closed, already she's closing 34 more stores. Right? This is because retail is getting hammered. While they're telling you in the stock market that the stock market is reaching new heights on Main Street, the reality is something different. CSX Railway, you know what that is? That's one of the major railway delivery outlets. I know when I'm watching the trains go through, you see CSX on a lot of the cargo train trailers or whatever you call it. And so they're announcing in just in the management level, not including the workers, but in the management level, thousands will be laid off. And soon as I saw these things, black man and black woman, see, I want to talk to you for a minute. Soon as I saw these things, my mind went right back to what Saladin was telling me about two decades or more ago about what would be coming down the pipeline soon, and he gives me a time frame. He started writing that down to me about 1955 and the 60 to not exceed 70-year grace period. And he started, brother, as we start approaching the end and the fulfillment of these things, all of these things will start churning, and it will start. It's almost like, how did he, the analysis that he gave me, it was almost like a wheel in motion or something similar to that. And he said, as this thing picks up speed, he said, it's like a locomotion. It starts off slow, but as it picks up speed, you would be a fool to get in its way. And this is what we're seeing, the infrastructure of America crumbling. Her job situation is dismal. The business outlook, brothers and sisters, I just don't have words for that. Because these are part of the desolations that were to be poured upon America, right? And all while she's suffering economically, she's still being hit with the forces of nature, with earthquakes shaking her, mudslides, storms, intense cold, drought, and massive rains. I want you to listen to this right here from some of the people who are being inundated by the forces of nature.
To Northern California now, where nearly 50,000 people in San Jose have been asked to evacuate due to record flooding. In the past day, hundreds of others have been rescued by boat as floods swallow entire neighborhoods. Rain is expected to continue today, further stressing the state's troubled water infrastructure. RT's Brigida Santos joins me live now from our Los Angeles studio. Brigida, what's the latest out of San Jose today?
Anya, evacuation orders have been issued in the Coyote Creek area in San Jose. Now, this creek is the largest watershed in the area. In fact, about 16 different creeks do feed into it. Officials said that they did not expect any type of flooding in this area because water levels in the creek were actually below the channel levels where that flooding occurred. Now, at least 14,000 people have faced mandatory evacuations, with another 36,000 being asked to voluntarily leave. And that's because flooding in the area has been incredibly intense. In fact, in the past 24 hours, at least 346 people were rescued by boat. They have since been decontaminated due to exposure to sewers and other things that are in that flood water. Take a listen to what one person had to say.
I just look at it with awe right now. It's kind of an interesting thing to see. You know, we've had drought for many years, and to see this amount of water flowing at this record level is incredible.
In addition to those evacuations, at least five local schools have been closed, and portions of the 101 highway have also been closed as well. In the meantime, people are staying at evacuation shelters throughout the city. Anya.
Those images were pretty shocking of that rushing water behind that interviewee there. This is all coming, of course, after last week's evacuation surrounding the Oroville Dam. Can you give us any update on the repairs there?
Yes. So today, the Pacific Gas and Electric Company has began to reroute some of the power lines that they had to turn off last week when this disaster all began. Officials say that now that the worst of the rain is over in Oroville, they also want to shut off some of the water that's flowing over that spillway so that they can get up close and personal to take a look at the damage. They're also determining how exactly they want to proceed from here, whether they want to completely replace that spillway or simply just replace those damages. And of course, these repairs are estimated to run the state over $100 million, Anya.
And we have about a minute left. Is California alone when it comes to rivers and creeks at their capacity?
Unfortunately, it's not. In fact, there has been a lot of flooding reported in Nevada as well. In fact, the California-Nevada River Forecast Center estimates that over two dozen rivers and creeks in both California and Nevada are in danger of flooding due to these storms over the coming days. And in fact, flooding has been reported in the cities of Carson, Reno, and Virginia in Nevada, as well as in the Washoe and Sierra Valleys. And then in California, people are on edge today, not only in San Jose, where that flooding is going on, but also in the city of Modesto, where the Don Pedro Dam is expected to put some additional strain on the flooded levees in that area later today. And also, there has been flooding reported in Sacramento, Manteca, and Tracy, and the Anderson Dam in Santa Clara County is also at capacity. So a lot of floods heading that way today, Anya.
Going from the drought beat there in California to the flood beat, Brigida Santos reporting from Los Angeles. Thank you.
What did Elijah Muhammad say? In the time of the fall of America, she would suffer, and she would suffer water and fire flowing side by side. What did they mention at the end of this thing? Going from the drought to what? And remember, as the drought was so intense, what was happening? You were seeing wildfires everywhere, right? And now what is following up then? The second act is what? The floods, the intense rain, overflowing the reservoirs, overflowing the dams. But this is also a desolation that is being poured upon America for her mistreatment of you, but also because of what she's doing around the globe also, mainly because of you. But I just want to point something out. These dams, notice that these dams that are being threatened and that are at capacity and that are cracking and all of this, notice that America, she hit a dam in Iraq, and before Russia and Iran exposed it, she was going to take that dam out, causing the destruction of entire cities and loss of life up to the millions. This was reported. You can Google this. In Syria, she bombed the dam last week, and she wanted to bomb it again to take it completely out, but she was exposed, and she pulled back a little bit, and this thing would have caused billions in damage to the Syrian infrastructure and untold lives. Now, as she strikes others, what God does to her, as she strikes others, what does God do to her? wicked and evil. These are desolations that are starting to multiply. The empire is in crisis. Not only is she inundated with rain, but remember that after the drought comes the rain. This is destroying the ability to produce food. California is the food basket, not only the trade hub, not only is it responsible for most of America's trade. Not only does it have a huge economy, and it's largely a large part of America's tax base, the federal government's tax base, but California has some of the most fertile land. They can grow anything there, almost. And with them being inundated with rain right after the drought, this is destroying the ability to produce food and major quantities of it. Brothers and sisters, I'm trying to lay something out to you. This is a pattern here. You go after somebody, God goes after you. You hit somebody, God is going to hit you twice as hard. This is what is going on. This is what God is trying to bring home to America. But you're too dumb to see it. You're too blind to see it. You're too deaf to hear it. Brothers and sisters, I was listening to what the lady said. She said, the floods, they swallowed entire neighborhoods. This is what she said, right? And caused 50,000 people to flee. Now, that's something, isn't it? And the man who was being interviewed said he was in awe. He had never seen anything like this before. So, let us find out what the word awe means, okay? That's A-W-E, awe. I'm in awe of something. According to Merriam-Webster's dictionary, the word awe means an emotion variously combining dread, veneration, and wonder that is inspired by authority or by the sacred or sublime. Dread, terror. Isn't that something? So he was in dread. He was full of dread. He was full of terror of what he saw coming to him. This is what Elijah Muhammad said would happen. And remember that this does not only cause terror in the hearts and minds of the people. This does not only uproot them from their homes and destroy their properties, but it puts a major financial burden on the cities, on the counties, on the states, and on an already bankrupt federal government. This is the judgment. This is what Allah said would happen to America. He would bring her down to her knees by degrees from which you cannot perceive. The empire is in crisis. The desolations are starting to multiply. Muhammad says, to be plagued with too much rain will destroy property and lives. It swells the rivers and the creeks. Too much rain floods cities and towns. Isn't that what that woman just said? Large bodies of water at the ocean shorelines will be made to swell with unusual high waves, dumping billions of tons of water over the now seashore line. Rain destroys property and kills cattle by drowning them in low land. Rain destroys the hiding places of vicious beasts and reptiles, bringing them out fighting in small towns and people's homes and farms. Rain weakens and destroys railroads, truck lines, beds, and bridges. Rain undermines foundations of all types of buildings. See, when you're looking at the rain, that's all you're thinking about. You're not looking at the damage behind the scene that is being hit. I mean, that is wreaking hell upon America. Listen to this. We're going to go a little further. He says, rain undermines foundations of all types of buildings. Rain makes the atmosphere too heavy with moisture, causing sickness. Wind with rain can bring destruction to towns and cities, bringing various germs causing sickness to the people. It produces unclean water. This is beautiful. By the swelling of streams and destroying reservoirs of pure drinking water used for the health of the people. Now listen to how he describes this rain. He didn't describe it as some unknown measurement of nature. Listen to what he says. Rain is a destructive army within itself. Isn't that something? So rain is one of the part of the armed forces of God. It's a destructive army when God needs it to be. See, America goes on the offensive against you and I with her police forces, with her politicians enacting laws that they know that are racist and fascist and built upon keeping you subjected to their will. America goes around the world and bombs and occupies other countries, but she has no defense against rain, sleet, hail, snow, earthquakes, mudslides, sinkholes, and all of the forces of nature which are wreaking havoc on America and the Western world as we speak. Now you see the desolation. It's becoming clear that God is attacking America. America's, she's putting her armed forces on Russia's borders. She's putting her armed forces on China's borders, on Iran's borders. She's deploying her troops to Syria, and God is deploying his troops within America. The armed forces of God are the forces of nature. And she cannot stop the onslaught. She cannot stop the forward march of this army. Her F-16s, F-22s, F-35s, her warships, gunships, gun attack helicopters, none of them are any value when the wind picks up, when the rain starts beating down, when the intense cold or heat gets to them. Isn't that something? You got an awesome God who has come in the person of Master Farad Muhammad, to whom praise is due forever. You better thank him, and you better thank him for his mercy that he's given us in the person of the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. If we go a little further, then we're going to go to another clip, because I want to explain to you one of the main reasons why these things are taking place. So we see the inundation of rain. We see the destruction in the valleys. We see the destruction of the farmlands. We see whole neighborhoods and cities being destroyed. Tens of thousands of people being uprooted by just one element of the divine forces of God. Just one element. Now just imagine if he coupled that with heavy winds. Just imagine if he coupled that with locusts or animals or reptiles or any of the other bugs or insects that have been lying dormant for so long. Just imagine if he couples that with tornadoes or hurricanes or tsunamis or earthquakes or fire. He's just giving America a taste of the desolation that should be poured upon America to make her even more desolate. In chapter 37 of The Fall of America, Messenger Muhammad writes this chapter and he titles it, America's Land Being Divinely Curtailed. And he writes in this way, Holy Quran, chapter 13, verse 41. See they not that we are visiting the land, curtailing it of its size, and Allah pronounces a doom. There is no repeller of his decree, and he is swift in calling to account. Black man in America. So now he specifies who he's talking to, who this message is truly for. He talks about the black man in America. Why? Because you are in the most precarious state right now. You are the most vulnerable right now to the evil ambitions and designs of your former slave master. So he cobbles out a message specifically tailored for you. And he says, black man in America, there is no one as blind as you are in seeing what is going on against America. This is true. While America is suffering all these divine plagues, while her dollar is being rejected, while her economy is on the downhill, while inflation continues to soar and they try to mask it, while nations are rejecting her friendship, her weapons, and her offers to come and help them train their own people or aid that she wants to give to the people so that she can use as a bribe. All you're thinking about is the court TV shows, getting your hair and nails done, putting 20-inch rims on your car, right? What you doing at the club Friday, Saturday, and Sunday? That's what your mind is preoccupied with. Sport and play, foolishness, who wins the championship? Who does this? Nothing that's pertaining to bettering you as a people and as a person or to your salvation. You're not thinking about these things being a detriment and a hindrance to the progression of the entire black people or black nation here in America. He says, black man in America, there is no one as blind as you are in seeing what is going on against America. He didn't just say in America, he said against America. Right? This is something that you must listen and look at. Because that means something that is opposing or something that is in opposition to. Right? He says, there is no one as the word against means in opposition or hostility to, contrary to, in competition with, right? Directly opposite of. So these events that are taking place are in opposition to America standing, to America living, to America being in power, to America being able to dominate the people. These events that are taking place is to bring her to her knees, so that there will be no opposition against the divine forces of God. Is that not right? Of course it is. You know it's right. Smile. This your little brother on the air. I'm trying to talk with you and talk to you. Empire in crisis. The desolations are starting to multiply. So he goes further and he says, I have warned you for nearly 40 years that Allah in the person of Master Farad Muhammad, to whom praises are due forever, came to me and gave me the knowledge of the truth. And I have been preaching it to you continually. Now you see what is going on. As America has done, so now it is being done unto her. What is he talking about? As she bombed everybody, as she destroyed their towns and their cities, as she deprived these people of food and the freedom to go and get something for the security of their own families, their own homes, their own neighborhoods, their own country, their own sovereignty of a nation. Now she's feeling the same. America has surrounded the country of other peoples. She has blown their cities to pieces, and she has killed their inhabitants. Those who were left alive, she put to flight, running for shelter from the destruction of America's might. Stop right there for a minute. So what is going on in California and Nevada? Huh? 50,000 plus just this week. What about last week? They've been uprooted too, and they're running in awe and in terror and in fear for the awesome destructive power of rain, right? Just as they've blown other people's countries apart, their cities apart, and destroyed their homes and their inhabitants, what's going on in America right now? As thou hast done, so shall it be done unto thee. Is that not the law that we're supposed to look at? Let's go a little further. He says, those who were left alive, she put to flight, running for shelter from the destruction by America's might. And then he goes and says, it is very sad and horrible to look at the things that America has done, which are now coming on this country. For many years, centuries of years, America has lived a luxurious, wicked life while halting her black slaves and depriving them of justice, shooting them down on the streets, on the highways, and in the woods and fields for nothing. She did it just because she felt that she had the advantage, and she wanted to kill black people, as she was made to do. Now, in that last sentence or so, he gives you the reason why America's suffering, because of her wickedness towards you and I. And so, she has shown racist policies. Well, that was back in the 60s, back in the 70s, back in the 50s. Nothing has changed. Only that they are more wiser than their parents were in tricknology. They can befriend you on one end. Bill Clinton was, he was good at this. He was good at this. One day I was sitting down having coffee with my mom, and I was talking to her about Slick Willie, and talking about how black people were so deceived by Slick Willie. And I said how when the investigation took place that threatened to take down his presidency, and Ron Brown, y'all remember him? I think he was one of the secretaries in the administration of Bill Clinton. And he had set it up where Ron Brown's plane had crashed, they say, into a mountain. But earlier reports said that he had survived the crash. And when they found him, they found bullet holes in his head. And as Bill Clinton went to his funeral, he was joking and laughing with his partner. And as soon as he saw the cameras on him, I was showing my mom, and I said, I want you to look at this and tell me what's different in this. And as Bill Clinton was walking by, she said, he's laughing and joking with his friend. I said, now watch as soon as he realizes that the camera's on him. As soon as he realized and looked and saw the cameras on him, he went into that act of, oh, I'm so remorseful and so hurt by this, and started crying on contact and wiping his eyes. See, they can do this because this is their nature, and you don't understand this nature of the beast, right? So, Ron Brown got in bed with the devil, and he started having cold feet, and the devil killed him. And this is what they do, right? They will betray you. They will kill you, and they will sell you up the river. If you can't listen to this. If you can't trust your own right now, because they have been inundated with the mind state of America and the Western world, what makes you think that you can trust the people who did this to them? Huh? I'm asking you a question. Now answer me. Boy, I tell you, America is under divine destruction because of her racial discrimination, her racial policies against you, her desire to kill, destroy, and keep you subjected to them as a slave-master relationship. And they're willing to go to war. They're willing to go to civil war to keep you in a subjected position to them. Even their own studies are finding that they are against you and that they profile you and that their local, the city, their county, their state policies are made against you. I want you to listen to this two-minute finding talking about the Flint water crisis. I want you to listen to this and tell me, for you who are saying that racism has passed, nothing is in our way to stop us from doing this. I want you to listen to this, okay? Pay close attention.
A scathing new report reveals systematic racism played a role in the Flint water crisis. The governor's Civil Rights Commission put together the report, which says what happened in Flint is a complete failure of government. RT's Ashley Banks tells us what the commission is now recommending. After a year-long investigation into the Flint water crisis, the Michigan Civil Rights Commission says racism and implicit bias played major roles in why little to nothing was done to help Flint residents. Now, according to the 135-page report, in order to cut costs, state officials turned to the Flint River as a water source while a new water pipeline was under construction. Now, this went on for 18 months as residents in a city made up of mainly low-income families and minorities consumed untreated water. Now, when residents began complaining about the coloring and foul taste of the water, the commission's investigation found that the water was then tested and continued to be tested for over a year. Even after the results yielded, the water was tainted. Now, the report says state officials did not question the water, but instead questioned the test, preventing any actions that would have protected Flint residents. Now, as a result, 12 people died from Legionnaire's disease. State health officials confirmed were all associated with the contaminated water. Now, in addition to that, high lead levels were found in children, many of them developing rashes and mysterious illnesses. Now, the commission says we're not suggesting that those making decisions related to this crisis were racist, but the disparate response is the result of systemic racism that was built into the foundation and growth of Flint. Would the Flint water crisis have been allowed to happen in Birmingham, Ann Arbor, or East Grand Rapids? We believe the answer is no. A total of 13 current and former government officials have been charged in connection to the water crisis, two of which were appointed by Governor Rick Snyder. Now, State Senate Minority Leader Jim Ananick said the presence of racial bias in the Flint water crisis isn't much of a surprise to those of us who live here. The people of Flint deserve the same level of safety, opportunity, and justice that any other city in Michigan enjoys. Now, the commission recommends replacing Michigan's emergency law in order to prevent this crisis or anything similar to it from happening again. So far, nothing has been done to work towards changing the law, but the state of Michigan has allocated $250 million to aid in resolving the crisis. At this time, lead levels are no longer excessive. However, residents are still encouraged to use faucet filters that are provided by the state as the city is still without clean water, something critics argue they'd expect to see in a third world country and not in America. In Washington, Ashley Banks, RT.
So you still believe there's no hindrance, no racism in America, huh? These are their reports against you. And they're showing you, they're laying the bed. See, this is what the book talked about when it said that their own records would be used against them, their own books would be used against them to judge them. And Muhammad says, boom, there it is. Right? So that's what we're looking at. This is the judgment. They are being judged by their own books, by their own writings. And they're looking in their own books and seeing the evils that they have planned and plotted against you and I. Some of you say, well, that's racism. I say, no. You know, it kills me about some of our detractors. Most of them are so-called educated people. They are the ones educated in the world of the white man. They are the ones who progress economically. They're the ones who have white friends and sit in a position which they think of authority, and they think that the white man loves them or the white people love them than me. Well, I know this person and I know that person. These are the detractors. They say, well, this is racism. I say, is this not madness? You would say, explaining and showing the people that they are victims to other people is racism, but you're not talking about the aggressor in the matter. The aggressor is free, but the victims are the racists. This is madness. But, of course, what else can you expect in a mad, sick, and crazy world? Empire in crisis. The desolations are starting to multiply. I want you to listen close to this also, because this has a lot to do with the confusion in America. Messenger Muhammad also tells us, he said, because America and the Western world tried to fill us with confusion and fear, Allah takes that confusion and fear and that division that they put in us. He takes it out of us and then puts it back into them. And he talks about the hatred, the division, the violence, right, that will start plaguing America and the Western world. And there would be no unity amongst them. Remember that unity is power. And the white man, he's known to break up everybody else's unity. What is he doing on the Korean Peninsula? Huh? What did he do there? When he saw Korea being independent, what did he do? He intervened and divided that peninsula and then turned the South against the North and the North against the South. Is that not right? What is he trying to do in China? He's trying to use this, I think it's pronounced Xinjiang region of China, to destabilize China. He's trying to use the, Free Tibet to destabilize China, use Chinese to destabilize China. What did he do in Libya? He used Libyans with outside help along with him to destabilize Libya. Isn't he doing that in Syria? This is his M.O. Everywhere he goes, this is his M.O. Whenever he wants to rule or conquer something. So God does him like that too. Look at Europe in crisis. The Eurozone is falling apart. They once touted the EU as a modern face of civilization, of unity, of the Western world. Now look at them. They're being divided. They're attacking each other, right? Look at America. She's being divided. And there's a great dissatisfaction with America by Americans. This was prophesied to happen. And this is what is pushing the empire further in crisis. This is another desolation that the book said that would be poured upon America. The division of America is going on right here, right now. Listen closely.
Ferocious opposition to President Trump's leadership and policies is continuing to grow across the United States. And in the state of California, 1 in 3 now think secession may be the only solution. We get the story now from RT's Caleb Maupin reporting from San Francisco.
California is not turning back, not now, not ever. His truth is marching on.
If we have to, we'll defund. We give tremendous amounts of money to California.
So you're going to defund.
California in many ways is out of control, as you know. Obviously, the voters agree. Otherwise, they wouldn't have voted for me.
Donald Trump and the Golden State are clearly not happy with each other. Californians have been approved to start collecting signatures for a state referendum on Cal exit.
Cal exit is now trending on social media. Inspired by the Scottish independence movement and the Brexit vote across the ocean, Californians are now talking secession.
They're different. We're different from each other. And again, so how can one government do a good job? It doesn't look like it's done it so far, of representing everyone. We have our own government. We have an incredibly strong economy. I think equivalent to France, we're like 6th largest economy in the world. Not just in this country, in the whole world. And a lot of people identify Californians as distinct from America.
California is not a poor state by any means. It's got San Francisco, Hollywood, and Silicon Valley, the booming center of computer technology. Many Californians are now asking, why stay connected to the rest of the country, especially when there's such a big difference in terms of culture and values?
We have military, we have agriculture, we have strong exports and imports. We're ready.
I think if we separated, we would be perfectly fine. It's just the rest of the country that would be at worry, I guess.
Ironically, when something big happened, California requested federal money to help with the Oroville Dam crisis. Many Californians we spoke to on the streets just don't think California could function as an independent country.
What do you think of CalExit?
I don't think it's a good idea because I think that without California, the U.S. would be a pretty bad place.
I love California. It'd be cool, but like, I don't think that's like the responsible thing to do for the country as a whole at all.
I don't think it's a good idea. I think that when we were talking about California, we're talking about a huge segment.
Here in San Francisco, the local police and sheriffs have announced they're not going to enforce Trump's executive orders or cooperate with his immigration crackdown. So with local government so blatantly defying federal authority, is this a sign of a bigger crisis ahead down the road? Caleb Maupin, RT, California.
Do you see the different mind state? Do you see the confusion? Do you see the desire on one end to leave? And the guy talked about separation. Where did we hear separation from? Huh? It was a little man who kept talking about separation. Now, other people in America are talking about separation. Is that not right? See, when Elijah Muhammad was talking about that, you mocked him. You laughed, right? And now look at what time is bringing about. You're seeing God's work in all of what you see in California and around the nation. It's not just California. These are secession movements all across the country. These are some of the desolations. We're going to go into that article that Messenger Muhammad wrote. I believe it was August 3rd, 1973. That article, we'll go into that in just a minute. But I want to read to you something. We talked about the separation. And in this, they say they're trying to plead for secession so that they can secede from the Union. So according to Merriam-Webster's dictionary, the word secession means withdraw into privacy or solitude, formal withdrawal from an organization, union, or state. So we're seeing California and other states seeking a withdrawal from a nation that they see going down because they know what's coming. They know what's coming. We're in the fall of America. They know it. If you don't believe we're in the fall of America, let me read something to you. This is an article that came out, what is today, the 23rd? It came out today, I guess. It was published today. But I actually got wind of it yesterday. And the name, the title of this article is called 20-Year High Crime Rate Menace, it should be menaces, for U.S. cities. And this is presented by RT, and they go into, let me just read a little bit of it, and then we're going to go into this article, and we'll see where this secession movement is going, because this goes right in hand in hand with the secession movement, and it'll give you more understanding of when I started reading this article by Messenger Elijah Muhammad, and you'll say, huh, Muhammad called it. He called all of that, okay? I want you to listen. So in this article titled 20-year high crime rate menace for U.S. cities. It reads as such. Homicide rates are increasing in the majority of major U.S. cities, but Baltimore, Chicago, Memphis, and Milwaukee are struggling with some of the worst violence seen in a quarter century. Chicago, Baltimore, Memphis, and Milwaukee are already seeing a rise in homicide in 2017. Compared to the same time last year. While violence keeps climbing, many are desperately searching for a solution to the problem. Remember these words, what I just said to you, okay? Chicago's murder rate returned to 1996 level when the city was struggling with a drug epidemic and gang wars. The problem is now exacerbated by years of mistrust of police, leading to the withdrawal of some local communities from cooperating with police and police disengagement, said as Richard Rosenfeld, a criminologist at the University of Missouri, St. Louis, told the Wall Street Journal. I'm not going to read the whole article. I just want to read a little bit of it, okay? You give me a second with you. The Chicago, Baltimore, and Milwaukee police departments have been reviewed by the Department of Justice and found to have used racial profiling along with other potential alienating practices, such as the Chicago Police Department's use of Holman Square, a black site where prisoners were hidden from their lawyer. Now, that square there, it was worse than Guantanamo Bay. What they were doing, what Chicago police was doing, and this is what most police departments are doing around the country. It just got exposed in Chicago. They were kidnapping black youth off the street. If they saw you walking the street or somewhere, if they pulled you over, they would kidnap you. The police would do this and take you to that building and hold you and torture you, and your family would go to the police department saying that we have missing relatives, and you would know nothing about it. They would be torturing you day and night, forcing you to confess to crimes that you did not commit, and even was sodomizing the black youth. This is their own records, black men and black women. I'm not talking about in the 50s or 60s. I'm talking about in the 2010s, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17. So what you got to say about that? This is an announcement by the so-called U.S. Department of Justice talking about this stuff. And they were talking about other alienating practices. They didn't name what those alienating practices were or are, did they? Some of the alienating practices, what I just told you. The police not only was kidnapping people and torturing them and forcing them under duress and under threat of killing them and their families. They were confessing to crimes that they did not commit. And the police department, that was just ISIS. We get to the cake now. A lot of these murders that you're seeing going on in Chicago, Milwaukee, and all, those are being committed by black ops, by the elite police paramilitary forces. They're going into communities, causing confusion. Then they tell you read the site's articles when we were talking about how the CIA passes the dope to the police department, and they inundated and flooded into the communities, flooded the guns in the communities. Then they go in there and pretend like they're part of the community. They start beef, territory wars, and they start having you to take out your rival. Then they step in and take you out and blame your rival. Now they done killed two birds with one stone. And then they go and arrest your friends. And then you get blamed for the statistics of violence, murder, and the uptick in all of this. This is the devil. This is how the devil operates, black man and black woman. These are their own writings, their own books. I was telling you this a long time ago. You thought I was just talking. Now the Department of Justice is saying the exact same thing that I was telling you all. Go back and listen to the shows if you didn't believe I was telling you these things. So there's an uptick, a surge in violence in the black community. In these cities, but Muhammad says this. I'm going to read this out of chapter 24, then we're going to go to that article, then we're going to go straight into economics. I'm trying to tie all of these things in, black man and black woman. Just give me a little time with you, okay? The time is going by quickly. So, Muhammad, in this chapter is titled Confusion of People. And in this, Muhammad says, now, the rise of America's one slave into the knowledge of self, in the spirit of Allah, in the person of Master Farad Muhammad, the Son of Man, the author of the resurrection of us, the mentally dead, is causing untold confusion among the heads of states. The scripture is being fulfilled. Uh-oh, what scripture? Wherein it prophesies that in these days, meaning the end of the wicked world of Satan, rulers are against rulers, kings against kings. In the days of the prophets, there were no heads of governments who were given the name president. Rulers were referred to as rulers and as kings of the people. Listen to what I'm getting to. The prediction of the prophets who wrote our future before we lived has now come into pass. See, let me stop right there. The prophets had predicted this, and they predicted that these people would be doing these things that they're doing, especially when they're trying to hold on to power domestically and internationally. And they always view you as their most imminent threat. Matter of fact, if you don't believe what I'm saying about you being the most imminent threat to the American government, go to the FOIA Act and read what they're saying about you, the Freedom of Information Act, and read what the government has labeled you. This is not what I'm saying. This is what they're saying in their own writing. So listen, he says, the prediction of the prophets who wrote our future before we lived is now coming to pass. The slaves talking about you and I, or a foolish people, as they are referred to by Moses, are vexing the slave master with the, they need jobs. They can't get it. So the crime rate goes up. The violence goes up. Well, where did they get the violence from? There was no people more violent than the Caucasian. Is there? Wherever you look at the Caucasian, when he's talking about violence and the uptick in violence in Australia, then you go and ask him, well, how did you get to Australia? And when you got here, how did you come to power? Huh? Through violence. Through wickedness, right? You ask him, how did you come to Africa, South Africa? Through violence. Right? Is that not right? See, we got to explore the root of these things. Because what they are giving you is just surface stuff. And we got to go to the very... See, we got to uproot all this madness and all of these wrong thoughts and thinking that the slave master put in you. You've got to go and start to recalibrate that original thought, okay? Because it has been affected by the world and atmosphere of Yakub. The white man, you ask him, well, how did you get to America? And when you got here, how did you come to power? And how did you acquire all of these states and all this land? Because people didn't just give it to you. How did you get it? And after you got it, how did you maintain it? Huh? And since you say that you are that indispensable nation now and the most powerful nation on earth, how do you maintain that indispensability and power? Through violence and war. So if the slaves are violent, they learned it from a good teacher, didn't they? Empire in crisis. The desolations are starting to multiply. So Muhammad says, today, as these prophecies are now being fulfilled, we are not surprised at the truth God gave to us through the mouths of his prophets coming to pass as it was prophesied. The master must give up his slave, and the slave must give up his master, regardless of his desire to remain with his master. So, events must take place to force a separation. Just like in the book, in the books, the first five books of the Bible, when it talks about how God went to where he said, Moses, you just go talk. Go tell them, go, and then go tell your people we got to separate. You need to separate. And Moses, man, they're not going to hear me. And they're not going to do. God said, don't worry about that. Don't worry about none of that. Your job is just to convey the message that I gave to you. I'm going to do the work. You just go speak for me. Right? And at the end, what God told Moses, now, I've tortured Pharaoh. I've chastised Pharaoh. Now go tell your people to go borrow this and go do this, and because they're going to come out of here with gold and silver. And I'm going to handle this. On this plague here, you don't have to worry about asking Pharaoh to let you go. He's going to demand that you leave. Just, we're in the same position now. All of these things are grinding down on the empire because she refuses to give you the opportunity, and yet her opportunities are being taken from her because she refuses to allow you to ascend to higher positions in righteousness to gain material independence. Her material wealth is being destroyed, and her people are given over to reprobateness. Is that not right? And all we see in the news and all we see in the streets is savagery and madness. Is that not right? They are devolving to the level of beasts of the field, and you would be more secure in the jungles than you would be walking down these streets nowadays, because if you have on clean clothes or a decent pair of shoes, or you may look like you may have $5 on you, your life is at stake. Is that not right? This is what the prophets had predicted would happen. These events must take place to force a separation of slave and slave master. So Muhammad goes further and he says, it is the purpose of God himself to separate the two. So God's purpose, his aim, is to separate you. So guess what's going to happen? Regardless of whether you participate or not, guess what's going to happen? If it's God's purpose and it's God's aim, do you think being lazy or do you think rejecting what God says is going to stop what he aimed to do? I don't think so, black man and black woman. So he says, it is the purpose of God himself to separate the two so that he can give the slave justice and an equal chance for survival as the slave master has been exercising power over the slave. So look at what's going on. You have a climate in politics that is detrimental to the health of the Republic of America today, right? All of them have turned against each other. Is that not correct? Whether they are the monetary policy makers or whether they are the political policy makers or whether they're the military staff, they're all turning against each other. America is being torn to pieces politically, as Pharaoh's political party was in the days when Jehovah went after the freedom of Israel. Well, how will we know that this is that time for that? Look around and see what's going on in the political arena. And then remember this. Egypt was plagued with droughts, great hailstorms, rain, and fire. According to the Psalms, running side by side, fire and water. These plagues now are visiting America from Almighty God. Are we not seeing that? Didn't we just play the clip of that? So we know where we are in the time of prophecy now. And then we can measure where we need to be at as more events take place. Is that not right? See, do you see how we're calculating time? How we're looking at the events and we're going into prophecy and showing you? Oh, black man and black woman. All I can say is that it's a beautiful time, a very beautiful time, to be a follower and an acknowledger of the last and the greatest of the messengers of God, the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. And on that truth, I will give my life. Brothers and sisters, let's go to this article. I read this and I continue to read this because I'm going to get this in. I'm going to get this in your head if it is the will of Allah. We got to read this because you're seeing what's going on politically. You're seeing what's going on economically. You're seeing what's going on with the violence and the police brutality, right? As a matter of fact, let me say this. I also read an article that says that the American police force is on record right now to killed more people, I think it was, if I'm not mistaken, I believe it was worded as such, I'm paraphrasing, to kill more people in 2017 than they did in 2016, 2015, and I believe 2014 combined, the U.S. police force. Now, mind you, this is February. We had 10 more months to go. That's crazy, right? Well, you're in a crazy country, and these people are going stark, raving mad because of the judgment. So, we see the secession movement. We see the violence. We see the political turmoil. Right? We see the fire and the water running side by side. Now let us see what Elijah Muhammad has to tell us about the end of the war. Now why would he title this the end of the war when he's talking about economic collapse? When he's talking about secession? When he's talking about the division of nations and the unemployment? Because this war is a universal war and struggle to free you. Okay? I want you to pay close attention to what is being said. What can we expect at the end of the war? Paradise or hell? See Bible, Daniel 9, 26 and 27. Desolations are determined, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. This is like saying, do not expect healing ointment to be poured on the sore that has been made. So this is what we're trying to convey to the people. People are trying to rebuild this and do this. Brothers and sisters, listen to what he says. And at the end of the war, first of all, he asked the question, what can we expect at the end of the war? Paradise or hell? Then he goes and gives you Bible quotes and he tells you what to expect. And at the end of the war, desolations are determined. And that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. This is like saying, listen to this part. This is like saying, do not expect healing ointment to be poured on the sore that has been made. So we know that waters destroyed the nation. That was a big sore on the black nation, a big stain on the black nation. But this must take place to bring out the purification. This has to take place. We have to be purified. And so we must go through the fire, right? That's how you purify dross from silver and gold. Is that not right? You get all the impurities of the gold and the silver by putting it through fire. So Muhammad says, you will not get healing ointment. But I thought we were going to do it. You will not get healing ointment. were trying to find a job for the unemployed soldiers who are returning from the war zone, if they have a chance to return. This will be one of the worst headaches for the government that she has ever received. Listen closely. Is that not taking place right now? The veterans are getting put on hold for hours, and then they're not getting compensation, and the government is taking back, making war vets pay back bonuses. Is that not taking place right now? The ones that are able to make it back. Well, this thing will intensify as the wars progress and America lose more. She's going to be forced to go into the prison. And she's going to ask the prisoners, listen to this good. I'll give you freedom if you go over there and fight for me. And Muhammad says, this is really ignorant to go from jail to the grave. Don't go, black man and black woman. The prison houses will open up because America won't have the staff to keep them closed. Because the economic desolation is going to ravage America, and you don't know this yet. You can't see it because all you know is American power. But there's a greater power behind the scenes that will bring this power to its knees. So Muhammad says, with unemployment mounting so fast, it will create revolution. Is that not what's going on today? Don't tread on me. We need to secede from America. The white race is this and blah, blah, blah. Revolution, right? You hear the black man standing up and calling for revolution. Is that not right? So is Elijah Muhammad telling you the truth? You know he is, right? You just don't like him. Let's go a little further, black man and black woman. Because you can't deny what I'm telling you, because we have facts, right? And we're dealing with facts. And we're letting you hear what the white man has to say about him, his own self. So, listen to this. With unemployment mounting so fast, it will create revolution. Go to any alternative website, and they're talking about this right now. The unemployment numbers are manipulated, and the people can't survive, and the people can't provide for their family, and people are arming themselves, and people are getting ready for revolution. What about the Bundy Ranch? When them armed white people took on the federal government, now one of them, now look, if that would have been you and I, they would have gunned us down immediately, right? You would have been thugs in the eyes of the media. Is that not right? You know it is. Come on, black man and black woman. Stop playing. You know this is the truth. So he says, with unemployment mounting so fast, it will create revolution. And everybody will want to divide the government up into pieces, and every leader will want to grab a piece for his part to try to muster some kind of government patterned after his own way of thinking. What are we talking about? The secession of Texas? The secession of California? These secession movements in Oregon and Washington State, these secession movements all around the country now, right? These people are saying we want to put out of the union because we have an insane government in Washington, D.C. Is that not right? Right? You hear it? I know you're not dumb. So Muhammad had called this in 1973, and you're seeing it happening in 2017. So you got to give him some type of props, black man and black woman. And you also got to give him props, Ron Paul and Greenspan, Mr. Bubble himself, Mr. Economic Bubble himself. Greenspan said he agreed with Ron Paul's opinion about what destroyed the dollar and what got America in all these economic problems. And that was the detachment from the dollar, from the gold and silver standard, right? Who said it first? Elijah Muhammad was teaching you that in the 60s and the 70s. But Ron Paul got the credit for it. You see, they want to ignore Elijah Muhammad, but you can't ignore such a powerful man that continues to be right on everything that he talks about. So listen, he says, and everybody will want to divide the government up into pieces, and every leader will want to grab a piece for his part to try to muster some kind of government patterned after his own way of thinking. Desolation. If we are going to suffer deprivation in a country that has been the pride of the nation, this will make it altogether worse. For everybody will be thinking about the way that they used to live and the freedom and the privileges that they used to have. What are they talking about right now? Huh? Come on, talk back to your brother. Now, you know that they're complaining about their freedoms being trampled upon by the government. And Muhammad says this would make it all together that much more worse. Because this nation, America, has been the pride of all the nations. I am and there is none other. Like Nebuchadnezzar, is that not right? America, the indispensable, the exceptional nation. America will lead the world. America will lead Asia. Don't even reside in Asia. America will lead the Gulf nations. America will lead the South and Central Americans. Do you see the arrogance? And because she's being deprived of her power, which is the dollar, her economy is dying, which means soon thereafter, the military might, that military component, would die also. Muhammad says, and this will make anger rise up in the midst. So Mr. Trump is an elected or selected president, and he fills his cabinet with Jews, haters of black people. And you see it happening. The anger, make America great again. And we got a white president. The White House is back white again. And you see all of these conservative alternative media sites and these conservative sites are happy that the White House is back white again. The anger that has risen up in our midst. Right? Go further. What I am trying to show you is that the prophet Daniel cannot be wrong. Because this desolation that is determined to be poured on the most desolate is aimed at the place in which we now live. Where you live in? What country you living in? America. And just remember, in case you forget this, just remember that you cannot expect paradise. See, people are trying to rebuild paradise in America. But Muhammad says that you cannot expect paradise here when such condition of desolation is headed toward America. And since we cannot make prophets' words other than the truth, we expect this desolation. And we are receiving this desolation now. Right? Are we not receiving it? Is America not in trouble? Is the economy not collapsing? Are the people not afraid of what they see coming? Mr. Gregory Mannarino tells us that the Fed is scared as hell and manipulating the books because the markets are tanking. I want you to listen closely. This is 5 minutes, and we'll go from there. Listen closely.
Hey, everybody. It's me, Gregory Mannarino, Hawaii Today. It is Wednesday, February 22nd, 2017. So today, we all got to hear once again from the Federal Reserve. Their minutes specifically from their last meeting. Now, the market, myself included, sat all day waiting to hear what the Federal Reserve had to say. Basically, it boils down to this. actually, it's the same. That fairly soon, their words, fairly soon, they would consider raising rates. The initial knee-jerk reaction from the stock market was a move lower, very slight, and then we picked back up at the time I am doing this video blog. Let me explain a few things to you if you're not sure of what's going on here. Let's take notice to a few things that have been going on. How many of you out here remember when the U.S. 10-year yield, not too long ago, was about 1.5. Today, we're about 2.4-ish, 2.45, whatever. This happened on its own. The market was trying to price in some type of a rate hike, which we got a token one at the end of last December. What the Federal Reserve is trying to do by this uncertainty about what they're going to do is try to allow the market to raise rates on its own, okay? That's the only job of these markets, and we understand what has been done. The sole task of the markets, why they exist, is to determine fair value. For every single asset now, we understand that the Federal Reserve has run amok. Status post the 2008 market crash. They've taken over the market. They've manipulated asset prices. They've inflated bubbles to the upside and created inverse bubbles. Now, if you had to guess, and I know honestly how smart you are, all of you, and I mean that. I hear from you all the time. If you had to guess, what is the Fed really afraid of? Why is the Fed terrorized or terrified of raising rates in any meaningful fashion? You probably know already, but this is the reason. The Federal Reserve, their greatest fear number one, is pretty straightforward. They're afraid to see or create a run on bonds. In other words, people leaving the bond market in an uncontrolled fashion. If the Fed were to raise rates in a meaningful way, you would start to see a lot of people, again, I've covered this so many times, who are stuck holding bonds that are yielding nothing. They'll be left holding the bag. And what are they going to do as rates rise? They're going to want to dump it. You see, it's a very simple concept. If this were to happen, you would see disruptions created across the entire debt market. Forget about one aspect of it. This would even affect currency. This would be huge. Huge! If this were to happen in an uncontrolled fashion, you would see interest rates spike on their own rapidly. That would has the potential to cause a massive, uncontrolled sell-off in the stock market. As rates rise, it makes stocks less desirable. People want to get out of them. So you would see a big sell-off here in the debt market, a big sell-off here in the stock market. And they are well aware of this. Believe what I am telling you, that the Fed is well aware of the potential here to cause disruptions. And this is the reason why they are so afraid to do anything. They are going to have to raise rates at one point just to remain credible. I do not believe it's coming next month. I don't believe that. Could I be wrong? Absolutely, I could be wrong. I just don't see it at this point. Maybe in a couple of months. The Fed is going to see how the market digests more of their talk about raising rates, I think, before they actually do it. And why? I just told you. They do not want to create any kind of a disruption in the debt market, which has the potential to be catastrophic. The Federal Reserve has created a situation they never planned on reversing, or they had no idea how they were going to do it. Again, they stepped in after the 2008 meltdown. We hit Dow 6,000. They panicked. They started throwing everything plus the kitchen sink at the markets, at the debt markets, to try to turn this around. And what they have done is created bubbles all over the place. And I mark my words here, they are deathly afraid of disruptions in the debt market.
Mama says, here in America, Almighty God wants to make himself known with both the punishment and the destruction of this mighty, powerful, and rich people. Listen to these words that he used, mighty, powerful, and rich people. So he was talking about mighty in military might, powerful in political influence, and rich talking about the wealth that they had stolen from others. So God destroys those pillars of power in America. And the fear becomes so great that you see the civil insurrection and the excitement in the people. And as Mr. Gregory Manorino says, he says, they're in a situation that they can't get out of. They have to do something. They have been ensnared in the trap that was laid for America long before America was America. So we go back to something. Muhammad says, it is the purpose of God, himself, not you and I, but himself. He uses a singular when he's talking about the God, himself, to separate the two, so that he can give the slave justice and an equal chance for survival. as the slave master has been exercising power over the slave. Well, how has the slave master been exercising power? Through his military, through his political influence, and through his wealth, right? So God's purpose is to remove those pillars or those instruments which he had to lord over you. Is that not right? And Mr. Gregory Mannarino has proven to you that this is underway. So the purpose, first, what does the word purpose mean? Okay? According to Merriam-Webster's dictionary, the word purpose means something set up as an object or end to be attained, a subject under discussion or an action in course of execution. So God's word is being executed, and it is on a course or a pathway to attain the end object that he desires, and that is the collapse of Anglo power universally and the raising up and the redemption of the black nation, especially first here in America. Is that not right? So this is what is bringing the empire in crisis mode. And we see more and more and more and more desolation being poured upon this desolate hellhole called America. So let's go back and let's read some in that article. We're going to continue this. The end of the war. We're going to continue reading this because this has everything to do with what we see happening right now. And he says, where we left off at, he says, and since we cannot make prophets' words other than the truth, we expect this desolation, and we are receiving this desolation now. And the way to hasten such desolation is to confuse the heads of government. And if we see this confusion of the heads of government as plain as the five fingers on our hand, and if we only have one finger on our hand, we can see that the government is confused and cannot find a way out in peace with itself daily and nightly. We see and hear what they are doing, what Mr. Gregory Mannarino said. They can't find a way out of this. This thing is happening, and they cannot get out of this, right? So he says, it is a confused time of the government. The Fed didn't know what they were doing. They thought that they had kept the genie in the bottle, but they did not know that God had allowed them to drink that sweet wine of arrogance, and they became inebriated on it and detached the world from the gold and silver standard. And it brought America instant gratification, but it uprooted and undermined the foundations of their monetary system, which is wreaking havoc all across America and the globe today. God is removing their wealth, their power, and their influence. Is that not right? We see it right now and right here. All praise is due to Allah, Master Farad Muhammad, to whom praise is due forever. And brothers and sisters, I know this is not February the 26th, but I got to say it because Muhammad says every day is a Savior's Day. Happy Savior's Day, my black people. But listen, let's go further. He says, it is a confused time of the governments of which the citizens look to for guidance. And how can the head guide if it is not at peace with itself? Everybody regrets talking about this, that woe that is heading toward America and the woe that is in America. When I was teaching this stuff, a brother told me, well, brother, we don't want to hear about all that bad news. And we don't, brother, we want to hear about what's going on right here on our block. He didn't understand that he must get this stuff to understand why it's happening on his block. And that's why I knew that he was not in, he was not a student of the teachings. He probably heard them and liked them, but he was not in depth to it. When he, I can weigh a person quickly. And I saw that he was not heavy on that side. And people think by memorizing or regurgitating what you heard that this means that you understand and that you know them. But that's not the case. That is not the case at all. And I want to say this, too. I've been looking at this also happen the whole show. I've been trying to see how Blog Talk was going to do. They've been dropping dozens of calls constantly on this show. Again, I just wanted to make that known to everybody. So if you get dropped off this line, especially as we're nearing the end of the show, go back, please, and listen to it on your MP3 player or your iPod or your phone or your computer. Go back. Please listen to this show again because we're presenting facts. So let's go further. He says, and how can the head guide if it is not at peace with itself? Everybody regrets talking about the woe that is headed toward America and the woe that is in America. But America brought this woe upon herself by not doing justice to her black slaves. So all that you see going on, the woe outside of America that is coming within America's borders. Because remember, if we were only focused on the domestic part of America, you would not understand why her dollar is being undermined. She had to take the dollar off the gold and silver standard because she had printed up so many notes that the nations outside of America, even her allies, didn't want to accept dollars no more. De Gaulle said, hold up, what you doing, Nixon? Man, you keep printing this money, you keep making these budgets, and you keep running deficits. What is this? Oh, America's money is as good as gold. De Gaulle said, then give me gold then. That's what that devil said. And when he pushed, Nixon was giving them gold, and Nixon stopped it because they knew that the treasuries was empty. And they had been taking other people's gold that had been stored in their vaults, paying it out to their allies. And hence you have all these wars to replace the gold. This is why America went in Ukraine. The first thing she did when she got in Ukraine was to go into the gold vaults and steal them. What did she do when she went to Libya? $300 billion worth of gold at that time, which could have amounted to $1 trillion today, was taken. The silver reserves were taken. The currency reserves were taken. That's what she did in Iraq. This is what she tried to replicate but failed to do so far in Syria. She knows it. She's desperate. She knows that her end awaits her. Brother says, I just want you to understand that you have to understand that all of these things are very, very much interconnected, and all of these things are happening because of you. All of this stuff is coming to be. But, Muhammad, let me try to get something in. I see we have 2 minutes. If I need one or two more minutes, brothers and sisters, please don't think harsh of me and give it to me. So he says, Allah wants to pay America for her injustice to her lowly black slave. Allah is not bringing this war on America because of her injustice to nations outside of America. He is paying America for her injustice that we, the poor black man in America, the black slave has. Now listen to this. America has not received much over yet, but she killed outright the poor black man in the South. America has hated her black slave worse than she hates rattlesnakes. She hates us, this. Think about this. She will, if a white person sees a dog out there, they'll go, and a dog hurt, they'll go to every length to get that dog medical treatment. If they see you out there, they'll pass by you and turn the head. Lock that door if you walk past their car. You left in a dog in this society. And they show you this. Dogs get better medical treatment than you do, right? People that come from other countries get ahead of you in the job market. Now, you've been here since 1555. It was your labor, your sweat, your blood, your sacrifice, your mind power, your tears that made America rich, that built up the infrastructure for America. And you can't get $10. And when you talk about reparations, they say, oh, no, 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 no. We can't give reparations. You gave it to the Japanese. You gave it to the Jews, and the Jews weren't even under your occupation. And you displaced an entire people and took their land and put these Khazars on the land, claiming them people to be God's people, to keep this lie, this falseness of Christianity going. But you can't give your ex-slave that. I was looking at a report last night, black man and black woman, about America's aid to Israel. No strings attached. They're giving Israel, now mind you, you asked for just college. This is what you asked for, free college, free health care, or let them let up on a child support bill, or let them remove your debt so that you can start from scratch. This is what you ask them, and they ignore you. But America is giving Israel, with no strings attached, and this is what was reported, so you know it's more than this, $258 billion. Isn't that something? So that's your money. They're giving it to them by people on Social Security. Squeak by, while people are forced to eat cat and dog food because of the job situation and they can't feed their family. Don't you see that God is making manifest the need for a change, the need for the uprootment and the destruction of America as a whole, because they are so inundated with materialism and power and wealth and luxuries that they cannot see the value in righteousness and good. If you take on that mindset, you will be swept into the abyss of nothing, black man and black woman. So let me talk to you for a minute before we go off the air. Things are getting hard. Times are getting hard. Brothers and sisters, you got to persevere. Anything worth having is worth the sacrifice. And most things that you get easy are not really worth anything. So we've got to sacrifice, and we've got to prepare, and we've got to persevere these times. Let us think over the truth and analyze this stuff. And then if it's not the truth, discard it. But what I'm asking you to do is listen to this show. Put it on a scale of facts. Weigh what is being said. And come back. If you don't believe what I'm saying, if you think you can disprove anything, you're welcome to call in at 347-989-0855. I'm not just talking to the low of the low. I'm talking to the scholars, too. Because I'm so confident in the teachings of the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, I don't need to take second thought or what you may come with. Because I already got it in the last messenger of God. You should be that way. You should. Don't be scared of people who you know that don't have the truth, especially when you have the truth. Be confident on that. That's your rock. That's your foundation. That's your salvation. That's your ticket into the hereafter. Brothers and sisters, with an undying love and passion for the upliftment, the liberation, and the redemption of 68 million of our kind, first here in America, then the billions around the globe, know that your little brother Rashid Muhammad loves you to life. But the love that I have for you, it pales in comparison to the love that Almighty God Allah in the person of Master Farad Muhammad, his messenger, the last and the greatest of the messengers of God, the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, and that mighty, mighty, mighty nation of Islam has for you, brothers and sisters. Stay strong, stay true, but above all, stay righteous. As-salamu alaykum.
For information on our next show, please visit trumpetoftruth.wordpress.com and click on the Blog Talk Radio button. Until we converse again, always remember, no matter how low society may have rendered you, the wisdom of the one true God will lift you on high. May God bless and keep you. The Star and Crescent Report was created and directed by Rashid Muhammad, produced by Nicole Muhammad, and hosted by Rashid Hiram, 1555 Muhammad. Have a blessed day.
That I like the moon I miss. Day to day the roads we play. Hope is not.